was still asleep. I sneaked downstairs in my pajamas and went out into the backyard to see how Wall was getting along. The grass was still wet with dew, and it was cold and slippery under my bare feet. I peeked through the screen of the summer house, but for a while I couldn't see Wall. He had got down off his orange crate and was standing in the shadows on the floor. There wasn't a single gopher in sight, and I had an awful moment as I wondered if he had eaten the whole lot of them. Then I realized this was silly, for there'd been 30 gophers, and he was only one small owl. Wall didn't see me. He seemed fascinated by a pile of old sacks lying in a corner, and as I watched, he made a hop and a skip and a jump up to on top of the sacks. Then we both found out where the gophers were. I never saw so many gophers move so fast. They came shooting out from under the sacks like little bullets, and they went crazily bouncing from side to side of the summer house, looking for some new place to hide. I guessed what had happened. Wall must have been feeling lonely, and he decided to make friends with the gophers. But if Wall didn't know anything about gophers, the gophers knew all about owls. When he plopped down among them, they must have run for shelter under those sacks as if the devil himself was after them. Now that Wall had accidentally, or was it on purpose, chased them out into the open again, they went mad. One big fellow came zooming against the wall, bounced off it, and ran headlong into Wall. Wall jumped and fluffed his feathers and gave a surprised little hoot. The gopher probably thought his last moments had come, but anyway, he wasn't going to die like a coward, so he bit Wall on the leg. Wall exploded. One minute he was on the floor, and the next he was clinging upside down to the screening at the top of the summer house. He was scared to death. I don't think anything in the world could have persuaded him to go back down there among those bouncing, biting gophers. I went into the summer house, and I untangled Wall from the screening and took him outside. He was so glad to see me that he started to hoot and couldn't stop. It was like hiccups. I couldn't put him back in with the gophers. So I tucked him under my arm and I tiptoed back into the house and upstairs to my room. My bedroom was on the third floor, right up under the roof. Nobody ever came up there except me and the maid, whose name was Ophelia. We always called her Offie, who made my bed and tried to dust the room. I knew perfectly well Mother would never allow me to keep Wall in the house, but I was pretty sure that if I could just keep him locked in my room and could hide him under the bed when Offie was due, nobody would know. When I went downstairs for breakfast about an hour later, I left Wall sitting on the back of a chair, acting quite at home. I thought I closed the bedroom door tight, but the latch must have slipped. Dad and I had breakfast together, but Mum wasn't feeling well that day, so she decided to have hers in bed. After Offie had brought me my porridge, she went into the kitchen and got a breakfast tray ready for my mother. Offie was an odd sort of girl. She used to have queer dreams. She claimed she used to see angels and things in her dreams. Sometimes she saw them when she was supposed to be wide awake. But she was a good cook, and so Dad and Mother never bothered much about things she claimed she saw. Offie took the breakfast tray and started back up the stairs. The stairs were dark and spooky because there was no window opening on them. About halfway up the stairs, she met Wall on his way down. Offie gave a terrible yell and dropped the tray. Wall was still nervous after the trouble with the gophers and let out a hoot and tried to fly. He and Offie arrived at the bottom of the stairs together, all in one flapping lump. After my father got her quieted down, Offie went straight to her room and packed her bags. She marched out of the house without even saying goodbye to Wall and me, and none of us ever saw her again. Dad was unhappy. After breakfast, he called me into his study for a talk. "Billy," he said, "if that owl ever comes into this house again, he goes into the roasting pan, and as for you, you'll get a licking you'll remember for a week." But my father never stayed mad long. The very same afternoon, he got out his carpenter's tools, and he and I worked until supper time, making a special cage for Wall. A big cage, about 10 feet square, and covered all over with chicken wire. It was built around the stump of a dead tree, which stood in the backyard. And on the side of the tree, Dad nailed a wooden box as a place where Wall could go and keep dry if it rained. Wall liked the new cage, all right. The only trouble was that he got lonely when he was left in it. As long as Murray or Bruce or I was with him, he was perfectly happy. But when there was nobody around, he would sit on the tree stump, all hunched up, looking miserable. I tried putting some pigeons in to keep him company, but they were scared of him, and he was nervous of them, so that didn't work. About 2 weeks later, the problem solved itself. It was Tuesday, and I was biking home from school along the alley behind our block. As I came along, I saw a couple of kids standing beside a big oil drum and dropping stones into it. One of the kids was Georgie Barnes, but the other big kid I didn't know. Georgie saw me coming and gave a yell, "Hey, Billy, come over here and have some fun." What those two kids were doing wasn't fun at all. In the bottom of the barrel was a baby owl, and for a minute I thought it was wall until I saw that it was smaller and a lot darker in color. It was the dirtiest bird I ever saw. Its feathers were all ruffled and broken, and it was smeared with oil. The kids were dropping stones on it, and every time a stone hit it, it would kind of scrunch down and make a weepy noise, like a tin whistle with a tremble in it. I wanted to tell them to stop dropping stones, but I knew that it would mean a fight, and I knew I couldn't lick two of them. "Where'd you get it?" I asked the big kid. "What's it to you, Shorty?" "Well," I said, "I have a kind of zoo at my place, and I could sure use an owl." "What you give me for him?" "Give you my scout knife. Let's have a look." I showed it to him, and he opened all the blades, and then he said, "It ain't much good. But this here owl ain't much good either. Pretty near dead. Okay, kid, it's yours." It's funny how some kids are. One minute, Georgie Barnes was trying to kill the little owl with stones, but the moment I bought it, he began to act as if he wanted to be its nurse. He climbed into the barrel and handed it out to me, and then he followed me home and helped me clean some of the oil off it with a rag. He told me the big kid had found an owl's nest in a bluff near Sutherland. He shot the old owl and all but one of the young ones with his .22 rifle. He only brought the last one home as sort of a joke he was going to play on his dog. It was a pretty sick little owl. I guess it hadn't eaten anything for a long time, and the stones and the oil hadn't done it any good either. It was too sick to sit on a branch of the tree in Wall's cage, so I put it on the floor of the cage while I went to the house to get some hamburger for it. When I got back, the new owl was lying on its side and Wall was standing over it. I thought he must have taken a whack at it, but Georgie said, "Nope, that wasn't what had happened." Georgie said the new owl had just fallen over by itself, and when Georgie tried to pick it up again, Wall had jumped down out of the tree and wouldn't let Georgie near it. When I went into the cage and held some meat out towards the new owl, Wall hunched down and spread his wings and hissed at me as if he were saying, "You leave this bird alone or you'll have me to deal with." "Easy there," I told him. "Take it easy, Wall. This little fellow's hungry and I'm just going to feed him." I don't know if Wall understood me, but he stopped hissing anyway. I held some bits of hamburger against the new owl's beak, and after a while he took a piece. Finally, he ate the whole lot. Then he staggered to his feet and stood there swaying back and forth. Before I could touch him, Wall sidled over until the new owl was leaning right against him. Then the new bird closed his eyes and seemed to go to sleep. That was the way we left them. By the next morning, the new owl was up on the branch with Wall, and from that time on, Wall was never lonely. When Dad got home from the office that evening, I told him all about it, and I told him the new one was called Weeps because of the weepy whistle noise he made all the time. "Two owls," my father cried and banged his hand against his forehead. "Now we'll never get another made." "All right, Billy, but no more owls. You understand?" He needn't have worried. Two owls was all that I wanted anyway.